It's the 5th of January 2013, Saturday morning, here in Los Angeles, California, and I'm just having a great time listening to music and working in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. I'm glad that you can be my friends and hang out with me. And I think that's what I'm going to call this, is being my friend. I received a phone call. I didn't receive a phone call. Yes, I did. Last night I received a phone call late. A friend of mine was telling me about how their life was going. About how they had to work, don't have any time for themselves, taking care of the family, not a family that belongs to him, but a family that belongs to somebody else that didn't take care of it very well, and things are not going very well in that area. And so it was kind of like a complaint call coming my way. And I found myself saying, well, you know, go to work through it. That's what it's going to, you know, be like. And I called this morning and there was no answer. Then I got a call back. And you know what? The guy said to me, he said, you know what? I just need a friend. You know, the guy said, I can't go home. My house is full of people that has no business being in my house. I know how that is. I know how that makes me feel at times. What I do is I clear out my house when I don't want to put up with a bunch of folk and talk and everything. I clear it out. It's my house. I can do that. But I'm talking with a younger man. And the younger man doesn't know how to do that exactly because there's family. You know, how much loyal dedication do I have to my family? What responsibility do I have to myself? Well, let me talk about obligation because I think this is very important. Let me get my Bible thing out. The Bible tells us that we have to be, first of all, loyal and faithful to our own before anyone else. And how in the heck can you be somebody's friend and you're not loyal and faithful to them? Sometimes you have family, and family can cause you more tribulation than anything. We know that. So let me share with you this idea. Because the Bible speaks about it profoundly all throughout it, about loving one another and all of that. But how far do you take love, and how far does friendship go when there doesn't seem to be? Man, you guys got to hear me on this. PJ was walking Broman this morning down the street, and I was speaking with a neighbor friend of mine. And it was a weird moment for me. I got to tell you about this moment. I told you a few months ago, whereas one of my neighbors down the street came down here and told me that they were liking me personally as a person, and I told him, no, you have a husband. You guys remember that webcast, right? Well, I'm walking down the street, and here's a man cutting his lawn. He comes out. We strike up a conversation. I start talking. I always have been hospitable to the brother, and the brother back hospitable to me, you know. And I started to tease him because he was cutting the lawn and he had on a pair of pants that looked like pants that came out in the 70s. And I said, oh, no, brother, you got to step it up. See, I have on my shorts. I have on a sweatshirt saying New York with a hoodie on it. And I got on my modern tennis shoes, New Balance. And I'm looking all, you know, pizzazz. And there he is looking all ragged out. And he says, man, I'm retired. I don't have to. I said, man, you got to keep up. And I was talking with him and I was telling him, I was talking with him like a friend. You got to keep up, man. Come on. I said, I'd like to come by. And when I get a couple of dollars and lunch will be on me and you can go out with me. And I said, but you got to shave. You got to fix yourself up. This guy's about my age, maybe a little younger. And he looks about 20 years older. You know, when you get to a certain age in life and everything ceases. And, you know, since I told you already that his, you know, wife tried to hit up on me, of course I'm not going to tell him about that. She was there. She came out. She made sure that she showed herself to me this morning, and I just ignored her like she wasn't even there. She came up. I cordially spoke. I told her when she said what she said to me, I'm never going to bring that up to your husband ever. I said, that's ridiculous. And I told her, you're ridiculous for doing that. I said, this man needs her to encourage him to dress up, shave himself, and the life isn't over. I love him enough to do that. See, I've been telling you people about love and how to exercise it. And it was interesting because as I was speaking with him out in the front, some Jehovah Witnesses were coming down the street. And I'm walking Broman. You know, it's Saturday morning. Nice sunny day in Los Angeles. Albeit they said that it's going to rain tomorrow. It is perfect today. And I plan to go out with a couple of friends. And we're just going to, I'm thinking about walking up Hollywood Boulevard, looking at the tourists, look at things and laughing, and maybe go get a bite to eat, something like that. That's all I'm going to do today. And then I'm going to come home and work on the webcast for tomorrow. But I want to hang out with some friends, because this friend called me and said, man, I just want to hang out when I get off from work. I don't want to hang out with nobody that I'm attracted to, that I'm thinking about dating, that I want to be. He said, I want to be with some friends, somebody that's going to let me be myself. And so I said, okay, call me when you get off, and I'll see what I'm doing, and if I got some free time, and we'll hang. We probably will. But what is Pastor John's objective in all of this? When talking with the Jehovah Witnesses, the lady tried to come up and quote scripture to me, and I said, you don't have to quote scripture to me. I'm a spiritual man. I'm very well versed with the Word of God, but I don't need that. I didn't tell her about me being a pastor. I didn't tell her about me being a Christian. And because I was mentioning to her that I'm walking my dog because I can't walk with my woman anymore. And so she said, oh, you're probably feeling sad and sorrowful. I said, no, I'm not. We all gonna die. Not feeling sad and sorrowful. I says, that's why I have Broman. He can walk me. Oh, yeah. When you don't have a woman or a man to walk next to you, who's a man's best friend is his dog. I'm telling you, Broman loves to walk with me up and down the street doing things like that. Yeah. But friends, do you have any? Can you rely on them? Can you call your friend and can you say, as a believer in God, as a believer in Jehovah, I mean, can you go out with your friend and because, see, we live on a beach community. We may pick up a third or fourth friend and we'll go to the beach and we'll just walk up and down the boardwalk there in Venice Beach or something like that. That's what friends do. No strings attached. You know, nobody's trying to hit up anybody for money, stuff like that. Just getting out, getting around in the city. Los Angeles is a very exciting place. And I'm finding that the best way to enjoy the city that God has put me in is to, explore the city. Go to a different part of town that you've never been in before and sit down and have a cup of coffee. You know, go to the Silver Lake area. Go to the Griffith Park area of the city. Go to Eagle Rock. Or go to East L.A. Go to Venice Beach. Go to Malibu. Go to Sunset Strip. Hollywood Boulevard. Okay, there's a lot of places that you can go to, and you don't have to have money. And you know, this is basically the last of the holiday anything, because it's about over. But what I want you to think with me about today is this idea of categorizing your friendship. Now, how do you do that? You can't categorize the friendship unless there is a process, kind of a praise process, if you will. In the 34th Psalm, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I was telling the young man, I says, look, you got to go to work. You're working almost 7 days a week. You can't get no rest when you get home because you got folk in your home that's doing this. And so what I got to share with them, if you're looking for a real friend, you will not find a better friend than in the Lord. Because the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Then the psalmist says, his praise, whose praise? The Lord's praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then he goes on and takes it down to verse 2 and says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Then he shouts out this with this magnificent burst of praise in verse 3, and he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's what friends do. Now, a lot of times preachers try to use these verses as a come all to tell somebody to come to church and worship within a group of people. But sometimes when you do that in the church, those people really are not your friends. Because you see, you can read these words superficially. Listen to Pastor John. You can read these words superficially and lie to yourself as you try to imagine what it's all about. So look what it says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. This is friends doing this. Let us exalt his name together. Now, wait a minute. Psalmist goes on in verse 4 and he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Hey, have you ever sought him and he's not answered you? I sought the Lord a couple of nights ago. I sure did. And I said, Lord, you need to help me because I need your guidance, because I don't have any real friends around me that's going to step in and tell me the truth. I had a dear friend of mine, I won't go into the details, by last night. And I was talking with him and I told my friend, I said, you know how much I love you? Do you know how important you are to me and to others around here? And I said, and I want you to guard your life, to look at your life, to guard it. Guard what you've worked for. Guard the reputation that you've warranted over the many years of your education and everything else. And I said, and don't slumber and sleep and fall into dismay. People need friends. People come by to visit friends. They want the friend to be real with them, to be transparent with them. So many, oftentimes, we think that we have friends and we expect our friends to tell us the truth. But a lot of times, our friends don't care for us. They don't like us. They don't like what we do. They don't like where we're going. No, what you have to say, hey, are you my friend? Yeah, I'm your friend. Well, check this out, brother. What you think about this? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. And then you can say to your friend, you know, my soul make its boast in the Lord. Now, I'm adding this, so don't get mad at me when I bring God up, because without God, I'm not going to be able to make it in this world. And I got to treat everybody right. I got to love everybody. I was talking with my neighbor down the street, and he was telling me about a nephew that he has this morning, the guy that I was telling you about, working on his lawn. And he said that he had a nephew that has about 4 or 5 baby mamas, and he got all these children. And I asked, was he taking care of them financially? And he said, oh, no. And so I said, how could a woman get with a young man like that? You know what he told me? He said, they all knew what he was when they got with him. They knew he was a whore. And these women got with them, and now they come into him saying, my baby needs some money. And he cussed them out and said, you better get out my face with that baby and everything else. Now, I have to keep it in mind, these young men are not blessing the Lord. No. They will not bless the Lord at all times. His praise is not continuously on their mouth because they have fathered children who basically are bastards, because that's what the father is. Fathered children won't take care of them. And I was talking with my neighbor and I was telling him, do you understand how frustrated a lot of people like me get when we understand that since the father will not take care of his own obligations and recklessly, let me put it that way, used his penis to make a baby and won't take care to put food in the baby's stomach, that man should be beaten and in prison. That's my humble opinion about it. Anyone that fathers a child and does not take care of that child and or turns that child's supervision over to a county paycheck or the city tax collector to take care of the child, I have no respect deeply for that person. I love the person. I will always love them. I don't think that I'll ever stop loving human beings, but I have no respect for that human being that will not take care of their own. The Bible says that if a man does not take care of the his own, especially his own, or the people of God, that that man should not even eat. That is in the scriptures. Now, we can avoid all these problems when we do what the psalmist says in Psalm 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast. In other words, the humanity that's in me will boast in what the Lord God is in me. Now, what's going to be the result of that? The humble will hear it and rejoice. In other words, the other people that are lowly in heart, that love God, that wants to see this magnification of this supreme love identification expressed in the life of the true believer, they will magnify the Lord. They will hear it and rejoice. Then the psalmist breaks out in verse 3 and said, oh, wait a minute, look at this. Let's lift up the Lord and blow him up with me. Talk about him forever. Now, I'm going to say it like I said in my last webcast. Stop talking about the name of your church. Stop talking about your pastor. Stop talking about your so-called ministry. When I met those Jehovah Witnesses on the street today while I was walking my dog, I remember the last time I had a talk with a Jehovah Witness before God starts showing me, come on, John, drop all those shackles that you've been trained to do. Drop all this mess talking about it's them against us. They're cultists. They're all going to hell. They're evil, wicked people because they're not following the Bible the way I've been trained to follow the Bible. So they're my enemies and all of that. I was talking with the JW guy, and I was telling him what happened to my car. I said my car was parked in my daughter's house, and somebody just backed into it and tore up the door and everything. And the JW guy started telling me, because he said, well, you saw me park my BMW there. I said, yeah. And he started talking about the mayhem. Some dudes just walked up to the side of his car on the rider's side and started kicking in the door. Kicking it in. For no reason. And I was telling the guy, I says, you know, now humans are totally depraved. And so they're going to do some depraved stuff. I said, brother, I said, I have full coverage on my car. I hope you had it. He said, yeah. And then I said, well, the next thing that they'll probably do is walk around and start putting bricks through the front window. You know what the brother's wife told me? Told me. I woke up one morning and found two potatoes in my living room on the floor. And when she said that she had looked around, somebody had thrown two potatoes through the living room window. The husband had some nice colored glass in the window. They knocked it all out. They just didn't like it. And they threw two rotten potatoes in the man's house. And I said, man, we're living amongst... Now, these Jehovah's Witness people are walking up and down the street trying to tell people about God and their little religion and all that. Now, in the past, I would bring up Judge Rutherford, Charles Taze Russell, and all that kind of stuff and tell them how these guys are cult members and blah, 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 blah. But when I saw them this morning, and we're talking about being a friend. When I saw them this morning, God gave me a completely different disposition. Love flooded my heart for that brother. He was about, it must be late 40s, early 50s, and his wife was walking the streets with him. And they were decent people living in the neighborhood. He lives right across Lawson Avenue, up in the heights up there, and they're just going door to door down in this part of, you know, trying to share what their belief is about God. And I looked at that. Listen to me. See, because a lot of you that listen to me over the years thinking that I'm not compromising anything. I looked at those people and I said, why have you been harboring, this is what I ask myself, why have you been harboring misgivings, feelings about these people, and you know nothing about these people? You're assuming because they studied under Charles Taze Russell, who is so far away from evangelical Christianity and what the Bible in its original context teaches. Why are you worrying yourself about what they're doing? Are you busy manifesting enough love to them that, listen to this, that you can have a conversation with them without degrading them and without them degrading you? And following was the next 10 minutes, the first time in my adult life that I've ever had a blissful conversation since I've been a Christian with anyone that is a part of that cult. Now, friends, if it took God this long to get through to me, to show me that all of that antagonism and all of that anger and anxiety and all of that foolishness, and in doing so, we were merely protecting our belief system, was all vanity, when all we needed to be were friends. Did the Bible put it like this? There's no greater friend than this, that a friend lay down, that a friend lay down his life for a friend, than one lays down his life for a friend. Why not? That's why in verse 3 of Psalm 34, he says, "Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Hey, man, come on, man. We need to cut this mess out. Magnify. Now, if somebody don't believe in God, and when I speak about God, I'm talking about the lone creator of men, the lone creator of the universe, everything in it. God had a purpose for doing it. I'm even talking about the atheists that don't think that God ever had a purpose, that there is no God, that it's all a joke or a lie. I am here to tell you that the psalmist says we need to magnify him and exalt his name together. Then what the psalmist does in verse 4, I'm repeating it again because some of us are hard-headed. He says, "I sought the Lord." This is a personal inclination here. "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." In other words, I got a testimony to share. Now, I have a testimony to share. You know, in the Christian church, the evangelicals always talk about share your testimony. Well, let your testimony be this, preacher. You got them people coming, setting up in there, listening to you tomorrow. Why don't you take these Psalms and just basically sit down and explain it? You don't need to know the historical context of the psalmist, why he wrote. Who cares? I think verses 1 to verses, 1 through 5 will answer the whole criterion for the human race. I haven't read verse 5 yet. It says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed." Oh, wait, I can't stop reading. Look at verse 6. You got your Bibles open, right? It says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Boy, don't you know that's what I got to do whenever I come to God? I want to apologize for the last webcast. I broke down and started crying. That's how free I am in Jesus, man. When I think of stuff, I just start crying because it's real to me. God is real to me. His wonderful love is excruciating. It permeates my entire being, the essence of who I am. I love him. He loves me. Now, this love that he's given me, I am obligated not only to share it and to spread it and to let it bubble over in everyone's life. You have to come back to the psalmist and see what he said. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble." Now, look at verse 7. "John, are you afraid? Are you afraid that something can happen to you? No. Why? Because the psalmist says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. See, that's why I'm not afraid of anything. Some people tell me, well, are you going to church Sunday? I haven't chosen a place that I want to visit at all tomorrow. I just may find more friends and go out and spend time with them and spread this wonderful accolade about loving God and letting God love us back without us fussing with each other about what somebody think that means. I know what it means. I tell them they call me PJ because I'm a pastor. I'm not a perfect man. Everything that I think, everything that I want to do is not right. I know it's not right. I am a fallen human creature, just like everyone else. I'm just one of those fallen human creatures that will talk about my sin to my God right now, and he will, hey. That's why the word of God is a wonderful thing. It says that God has an angel that encamps around about people that fear God, and he rescues them. Then the psalmist continues to go along with this hyperventilating passage in verse 8 and says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See what he says? He's saying, oh no, you're not feeling me yet. You haven't even come that close to coming close to experience what PJ is talking about. So he challenges us now and says, you taste it. No, don't just touch it. Don't just come into contact with it and try to give the hyperbole, fribble, bibble over that. Taste this stuff. Taste it. Taste it. Ingest it. Take it in. Let it become a part of you. Let it become a part of your existence. Taste and see, oh, this is good, that the Lord is good. And then it says, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is what I want to do. That's why I'm going to spend some time with some friends of mine today that didn't grow up in no church, that didn't come up around no church people, that didn't come up quoting no catechisms, memorizing verses that don't even know what they mean, giving a tenth of their income, you know, to a preacher who don't need the money anyhow. No. They my friends. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out, and I am not going to quote this scripture verbatim, but I'm going to live it in front of them. And they're going to say, how can you be the age that you are and is so full of happiness and life and all of those things? And simply, I have to say, because I have done what verse 8 identifies for me to do. And in doing that, it always turns out to be a positive, affirmative application of what God would have in my life. That is what a friend is. Friend is not one that just believes the way that you believe. And a brother that, you know, you go to church and you go over a few scriptures. No, a friend is one that can call you and say, you know, I feel like tearing up some people, tearing up some stuff, and going out. And then when that friend breaks down and starts crying, you know what that friend needs. That friend needs you to love him right there. Love him right there. That's what that friend needs. And if you are not capable of doing that, then that person is not your friend, nor are you their friend. There's not a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know what? I used to hear those terms all through the years in church when I attended those places. And I was under the impression that every brother and sister in that church loved me as a close, dear friend. I tried to perpetrate that kind of disposition between individuals, as I told you in the last webcast, only to be befuddled by hypocrisy, hatred, and people that are selfishly not going to live this out. I think the 34th Psalm is a wonderful place to get started. I'm going to start at verse 1, read it through again, and try to just line it up for you, because Basically, what we're looking at in this 33rd and verse 1. Let me go back to here because I want to go here. I want to read a little bit of the commentary here. Okay. Oh, taste and see. That's what I want, right? Yeah. Okay. I was trying to get to a certain place here. Yeah, here it is. When you come to 33 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Wait a minute. Let me do this. See, I kind of like lost my place. Okay. Oh, I see what I did. Hold on, people. Pastor John, just, there we go. There we go. Now, I wanted to give a little bit of the background because I got a little bit of time left on this webcast. And because some of you may be saying, well, what are you reading from? I am reading from a Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew Bible, if you will, the Jews' Bible, the book of Psalms, written by a group of psalmists, not just David. This one happens to be written by David, but they are written by various psalmists. And this is known as a song of praise. And David was talking about when he escaped from Abimelech by feigning insanity. Oh, you want to read about that? Now to go to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 11. You ever read that? It says, but the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? Now look what it says. And David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, the king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down into his beard. He was really playing a role, right? And Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen, he says in verse 15, that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? So David departed. Look at verse 1. Man, it's beautiful when you read these things in this ancient Jewish book, or this Jewish Bible. And we as the real believers believe that this is a part of the Word of God. It's the Old Testament. We accept this. But you have to know a little bit of the background as you read these things. That's what I'm trying to say. So, in this particular psalm, David called on the congregation to praise the Lord for their salvation. And after affirming that God is good to those who trust Him, he instructs the people on how to live a long life. Now, what a wonderful testimony. And you know what? Once you look at this and you see how wonderful this is and how it's supposed to work in a person's life, it does nothing but bring you to a state of adoration and praise. Verses 1 through 10 are filled with David's praise. In verses 1 through 3, we saw that David called the people to praise the Lord with him. Call your friends to praise the Lord with you. And don't wait on Sunday. Don't wait to go to church. I don't know why people get up. You know what? They cussing each other out on Saturday. And then they go into church lying to each other, trying to make out like everything is all right. I remember when my wife and I would have disagreement before we went to church, and I was a pastor of the church. And she was angry, and I said, Lucy, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go there sitting down there acting like you happy. You don't have to play the role of the first lady, whatever the heck that is. You can stay home. As for me, I'm going to magnify the Lord. Then I told my wife, I made the decision. The decision stands because I'm the head of this relationship. As far as I'm concerned, you can be mad at me, but you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go worship him. See, that's the way, that's when you have a friend. And that's why when I was with my wife, when she died in the house with me, I asked her, is there anything that I have left undone? Have I ever harmed you unwillingly? Have I? And she shook her head and said, because she couldn't talk. Tears came to my eyes. I said, because if I've done that to you, I'm sorry. Everything that I've done was because I know I had an obligation to take care of my family and you, to which I did. Now, check it out. I don't have that obligation anymore. It's like God has freed me. Now, I wanna go out and make some friends, have some friends with the people that I get along with the best, with the people that are more like me than less like me. See, that is what I miss, because when you're in evangelicalism, what you're doing is you have made, listen to me. You have dedicated yourself to follow someone else's goals and objectives, not necessarily God's, but there's someone else's goals and objectives about God. Here the psalmist is saying, you don't have to do that. What did he do? He resolved to praise God continuously so that the afflicted would rejoice. He knew that if people that were under pressure, like that young man that I was talking to today and yesterday, under pressure, man. And he said to me, hey, man, can we just hang out as friends? You know, I just need to talk to somebody that's real. I said, man, you know, I'm about the realest dude you're going to meet. I asked him, you want to come by the house? He says, no, can we just go somewhere and talk and just walk and talk? You know what he wants to do? Talk with real people. Now, those of you that call yourselves believers out there, you got friends? And wait a minute, this brother ain't going to no church. The brother don't want to go to no church. The church that he goes to, his pastor's twisted. I've already told him that, but what little he gets out of that, now look what he's doing. He ain't calling his pastor. He's calling me. Why is he calling me? Because he sensed something. He says, here's somebody that's going to talk to me. Here's somebody that wants to know about what I'm going through, where I am. Now, those of you that got children and you raising your children, you have an obligation. And I'm telling you, these children are going to do a number on you parents that don't know what's going on out there in the real world. You can lose your mind in the halls of Ecclesia and keep your head up into the biblical cloud all you want to. These children are deciphering the language of their culture and embedding it in their minds. The children are gone already. Now, in order for you to get them back and to understand how to apply Psalm 34, 1 through 10, you need to learn how to have a discussion the way I'm having this discussion with you. In verses 4 through 6, David, in these words, recorded the report of his deliverance. Why? Because he cried and he got delivered. Now, we can see this all throughout the text. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 of Psalm 34 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their trouble. Did you see that? So when you hear Pastor John crying on the website, there's nothing wrong. Those are tears of joy, are tears of anguish. Now, if my dog is sharp and these two little dogs are walking in front of his house with the front door open, my dog should be barking, but he didn't even pick up their scent. Bro, man is lazy. Look at verse 19 of Psalms 34. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes, yes. Look at verse 20. It says, he keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, you got to believe that. You know, a lot of people say, well, Pastor John, you're not pastoring the church anymore, and people don't call you pastor when, oh, you don't know. Sometimes I'm out and somebody will see me out and they come up to me, Pastor John, because my new friends don't know that I'm a pastor. I haven't told them that. And they look and they say, you a pastor? Yeah. You love Jesus? Yes, with my whole heart, soul, mind, energy, and everything. And you hanging out with me? Yeah. Why? I love you. That's one thing. And you need a friend. Now, you think that person's going to listen to me when I talk to them? Now, wait a minute. Let me reverse this thing. You think they're going to listen to you? Come on, let's keep this thing real, right? Do you think they are going to listen to you? You know who you are, don't you? See, your secret broodings, your secret mood swings, all these religious trappings that you have about you, do you think they would listen to you? Don't get angry at me. I know that's what I do as Pastor John. I'm supposed to be bringing the believers of God into the frame of reference where at least we're all being honest with and about ourselves, right? Would they listen to you? No. The answer is they would not. Because you're waiting on Sunday morning to go to church, to do your thing in front of other, everybody else doing their thing. See, we doing our thing here. And ain't nobody doing nothing. So there it is. All right. I think that I've spoken enough on this Saturday morning on being someone's friend. Let me read them again, and then I'll be finished. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Now check it out. Listen to this. You need a friend? Befriend people the way I've just told you to do it on this webcast, and you will not have want of any good thing. Trust the word of God. Don't trust Pastor John, because that's what Pastor John is doing. He didn't tell me to hate no Jehovah's Witnesses. He didn't tell me to be indifferent to them. Yes, he wanted me to know what makes them different from what makes me different. He didn't tell me to hate the black nationalist brothers that don't believe in biblical Christianity. He told me to love everybody. And until you all get this lesson, you will be playing games, spinning your wheels, going nowhere with this Christianity stuff. I love the essence of what true Christianity is, but I cannot stand so much of the hypocrisy that continuously infiltrates the body, the church, and Christ can help us to love if we are willing to do that. I thank God for the help that he's given me in 2013 thus far, 5 days into the year. I thank God for the mindset that he gives me to want to come in the Lucy Coleman studio and sit down and have these talks with you. I want to thank God for those of you that listen to me. I love you. I may not get a chance to talk with you as often as I want to because I'm talking with new friends. And it's good for you to remain friends with me. I like to end this webcast up by saying this, and I think it's important to say it. If you think that I've gone over the deep end, I'd appreciate you telling me so. But since no one has told me that they think that I'm going over the deep end, you're listening. And that's a good sign because you're getting better. And when this whole thing that you've been trying to stick to finally collapses and you see that you were called to live this without any association, with any connection, with any religion, you will find that he who the Son sets free is free. Indeed. You know the drill. Stay in the blessed word.